All right. Oh, it's morning. I'm up. I'm headed into the work. But I start thinking about, God, I really did a number to my ear. Anyway, it is what it is. I can't get weird. Anyway, so start thinking about my about this story. I haven't really given it a title yet. Working title, Prison Paradise. That's just so I know how to find it. It is mostly about a crossroads, so you want to get information about people's lives. Hijacking of the plane and the forces behind, the forces behind it. The guy who's acting the mastermind, he's on the plane too. Black Heart. There were the plans are being concocted. A more elaborate these things are, the better, so that one can see how one can see how utterly pointless it was, because of how much all those plans and the results and what it would accomplish on Earth, how little that means. In the larger scheme of things. Thank you. two fellas and the two guys who were doing the actual physicality of the hijacking botched terribly. That's why everybody died. Nobody intended to die that day. In fact, the only thing there was that the threat that could happen. So, of course, in every hijacking, there's certain sinister plots being played out. I love a good conspiracy theory just for the reason that conspiracy theories often are pretty true. And this one is as well. Trying to think if there's anybody good coming out of any of that stuff. And, you know, the good guys and the bad guys don't need to be clear cut at all. Although in the end, it's about motivations. It's about motivations relative to God, to Christ. So anyway, you start with these. I like writing with little vignettes, you know, if there's a plane full of people has a few hundred stories going. I don't know that it needs to be a big airplane, not particularly. It can be a little regional one between two places. There has to be some reason why a regional flight is the one chosen has to be interesting enough to make people say, although any hijacking that has any people on it has some cachet to it. Whatever you're hoping to accomplish, of course, this one has a much darker underlying theme. The actual hijacking itself is almost a diversion for something else to happen. I think the mastermind is seeking revenge for something that was done by a bodyguard of some vaguely important person. Not terribly important, just vaguely important. And all the attention's on that. Of course, when it's all said and done, these things don't matter. Bad people go to a bad place, and good people go to a good place, and it's really kind of irrelevant, the timing and everything else. A lot is said about what one leaves behind. And what could be done about them? I don't know if we should interject the possibility of affecting people's lives on the other side. You know, so much is said about, well, you know, the Catholic concept of springing somebody from purgatory through means, prayers, donations, a good deed, something, which in our things doesn't work particularly. You might even have one person go back. Make a visitation. Have an influence. If you go, it's always towards the times when they're allowed is when it's going to be, when it's going to help somebody who's alive. Doesn't really do much for the person that's gone. Thinking that you can do something after you've done. decide to affect your fate. But you can do things that can help other people's fates. Now, if you're selfish, I suppose it doesn't really occur to you. I have to do soul searching here to say how selfish I can be sometimes. And that's really something you're supposed to be working on Earth, is quit being so self-centered. Quit thinking only of yourself, think about other people. Put forth that effort. And people think that's self-destructive. Like, for instance, when I left my job at Baseline, and you're going, when I left, I can't say that I was being wholly selfless about it. It was certainly I'm the wrong guy for this job. I think when I first started, I wasn't really thinking of others particularly. I was thinking, I think more than anything else, why am I in this mix? How did I get into this mix? I think when I finally did resign, I was being a little more selfless, I had faith that I could go on and I could find something else, that I could do something else. I'd done something else before. I know that Larry Wickham was struggling. He was trying to get some work together, and it seemed like it was kind of rough. He was doing DoorDash and stuff like that. And smart, better at all this stuff than I am. Boy, I tell you. And was he better suited for that job? Oh, yes, I don't know what they thought of him as a chief information officer, but in the end, they didn't need a chief information officer. They needed somebody to do what Larry had done, and done well. And it was like they got rid of him. I don't know what the deal was, but I don't know what all the motivations were. Seemed like this organization was really into cleaning house. And that's some rough work. And to get somebody who wants to do that is almost to get somebody who struggles. hope. I think I was kind of half hopeful that something would come of what I did. You know, maybe getting picked up at Eastern as one of the people that were going to help with the merger, if that was ever going to happen, which it doesn't, you know, you just don't really know. These things are not things that just a person outside of the place would know. So you don't know. But it was interesting. Just this last week, I got an email from Eastern saying, you know, the normal thank you, and you were highly qualified, and decide to go in a different direction, and you're going, yeah, I wasn't interesting, and there was no reason for them to pick me up. I'm not a CEO type of person, even though I've got a degree with it. I think lately I'm really being handed a realization of how silly it is that I think I'm going to aspire to any great position of note in some organization. My patriarchal blessing talks about leadership and all these other things. It talks about understanding a lot, and that's what my dad talked about in his blessing to me, was that I would understand. I don't know how much that was just for that circumstance, but how we need to get better at personal sacrifice that doesn't really make us look very good, you know. Nobody comes and says, oh, yeah, look at what you did. Look what got accomplished through what happened. I hope good things have happened. I know I was being led, and I do remember that I didn't feel any particular... I didn't feel as nervous about things as I thought I should. And I don't know if that's because, don't worry, this isn't going to be your problem for very long. And, It's hard to know. My blog is called A Curious Instrument, and I think that I continue to be a curious instrument. And I am grateful that, at the very least, I hope, I'm a curious instrument in God's hands. I want to be a curious instrument in God's hands. I don't know if I'm going to get the appellation, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's from the parable of the talents. That's something I think that so many people would want to get, want to strive for. I only hope that I can be a good instrument in God's hands to accomplish what He wants to do, and that whether I understand it or not might be kind of irrelevant. I think there needs to be something. Something with these hijackers. They need to be kept from doing something that would make their suffering last longer, make their status a little bit better. But though, to a large degree, they were being used, they were being hoodwinked by this larger force that was using them pretty much as a diversion. That they don't choose to kill somebody. The opportunity presents itself. The dark heart, the dark heart in the mix tells them to go ahead and that they need to kill somebody. Now he's really wanting it to be the intended target, the person that needs to suffer or something. And they don't choose to do it. And this is a good thing in their favor, I tell you. Oh, get my next water bottle out. You just don't have the heart for it to kill somebody. Of course, the black heart that's really masterminding that little incident, or what that wants to have happen, he's playing the victim. really falls apart. I don't know all the details of it. You know, we're still thinking this thing through and how it's going to be structured. How the plane's actually going to crash. Just had a thing on. Apparently, a Cessna private jet lost compression and crashed. I don't know if everybody died or not. We talked about like a ghost plane. Plane that was still acting on autopilot, even though everybody inside the plane probably was already dead. And the oxygen. Anyway, so it could just be explosive decompression caused by, who knows, just some poor person that's just not prepared to deal with the hijacking and somehow manages to get the door open. Various things don't go well. And then it's over. A tragedy for some, but what can be done about that? A rest for many others. All the troubles that they had on Earth, and that's a lot of what Earth is. It's a lot of troubles. And then for others, this is a good time. Especially for those hijacking guys, the fact that this is a really good time for them. Before they could get into any bigger troubles, they were locked in at a good place. It brings to mind Lisa's oldest sister, Laura, who had many troubles. And died in a car accident. I think Lisa told me it was a drunk driver. She was on a good upswing, a really good upswing, starting to put her life back together again, overcoming problems. Now, the problems are is that when you're dealing with addictions and stuff like that, you really want to, you know, everybody says, oh, somebody's turned a corner, this is wonderful, and the possibility of them turning back for one reason or another because of the difficulty of Earth life, you know, or our own inherent weakness. You do kind of want to be taken. You want to get locked in at a good place. It is my belief that God shortened the lives of men in general. You know, everybody has, oh, they say, oh, that's not true. Adam didn't live to be 950 or more. Methuselah didn't live to be almost 1,000. These guys didn't live that long. No, no, no. That's just balderdash. You go, well, what? I'm willing to take their take on it. You know, everybody says, well, these guys are stupid. They were making things up. You're going, well, since I can't say that definitively, but I don't think people were any smarter or any stupider back in the past than they are now. The same kinds of things that destroyed people now, destroyed people then. If we think we're somehow more advanced, we're probably wrong and dead wrong. Oh, I don't know if we're dead wrong, but, you know. The chances of them having had superior technologies that we will never again possess, which is our tendency. There are plenty of things that we don't understand and technologies that we don't have that were possessed by people in the deep past that we just simply don't have them. And we think we're so amazing, you know, oh, we're just so much smarter than they ever were. Or well, we're not going to get caught in that sin because we're better, we're smarter, we're faster, we're stronger. And you're going, doubt it very seriously. Anyway, so I was really wanting, I don't think we can really include much of this in this story, but crux of it is that probably needs to be at least somebody on here that it's like, well, this is a good thing that happened. They're in a good spot, a better spot. This is the best time to take them. I don't know if I'm going to drive having people survive the crash just for the point that sometimes apparently bad things have good outcomes. People who have a scrape with death sometimes rethink their life. When God uses a situation like this to accomplish his goals. So I think, yeah. So we're going to have survivors too, not just we'll survive. You don't have to think that all this stuff is very planned. It doesn't have to be. Because one of the bigger pieces from an eternal standpoint, how we choose to handle difficulties in our life. Like a plane crash. We can get bitter, resentful, which isn't very helpful at all. It's a euphemism, it's a bad thing to do. might be understandable, but that doesn't justify it. Because the real point of Earth life is to ferret out our worthiness for godhood. If our actions and our choices lack of resolve to overcome our problems, focus our intentions on other people and helping them, then what to do on Earth is really kind of borderline irrelevant. So every time interesting. These dry roasted peanuts I've got, which aren't flavored, particularly, I found out they have, there's celery in here. Huh. I looked at the ingredients because I was concerned that dry roasting meant that it was, you know, there was some oils involved, besides the ones that come naturally with peanuts. Our peanuts are kind of oily by their nature. Anyway, boy, if we're going over a little over 70. Well, I think is now a 65-mile-an-hour road. I sure am getting passed up. This place is getting more like California all the time. I'm no paragon of virtue when it comes to the speed limit. Oh, here's where it becomes 65. It happens to be that I'm going up a hill, and 65 is almost about the best I can do up this hill. Anyway, dry roasted peanuts, celery. I kind of eat celery at the end because it tends to, oh, it's like God's devil floss. People are whipping around me like I'm not even here. I'm doing 70 again. It's a little later than I'm usually out. I know I made a recording yesterday because I was hear it before 4 o'clock in the morning. Now it's 5:22. This is my one late day Wednesday. I can sleep in a little. Monday and Wednesday, I try to sleep in a bit. Thursday, I want to get off at a good hour, so I can regardless. So in this story, you want to have these different situations. Back to the story. Try to clean my teeth a little. Boy, I'm going to brush my teeth here on the way in. I want to have an example of a lot of different circumstances. Somebody that's on an upswing in life. But it's going to take a turn. Words, if allowed to stay. You go, well, what happened to agency? And you go, God hasn't taken anything away. I'm just doing something nice for you. You can say all day long, I want to live. And you go, to be honest, you wouldn't like the outcome if you were allowed to live. Be grateful. Be grateful for God's intervention, even if it doesn't immediately. Even if it doesn't immediately seem very kindly. He knows more than you do. Now, some of those people on that plane, live or die. Still on the same course they were going to be on to begin with, so to a large extent, God isn't very engaged. Doesn't need to intervene. But, you know, doesn't mean he can't. God is still the unseen actor. To know if God was really part of that or not. Throwing red, man. Come on. Now the car's having some interesting issues. Not surprising, given what I put this car through, that would have these problems. Anyway, just indicative that I need to get busy on the story and start putting pieces of it together. That sounds drivetrainy. Something going wrong with this vehicle.
good.
Anyway, yeah, the car's acting weird. It's mostly mechanical. Remember last time I just put it in for just a regular old service? It cost nearly $1,000 just for servicing. They didn't do anything. You know, it wasn't like parts were replaced or anything. It's just the normal checkup. They kept it for over a week. No, I think they were replacing something. I forget what. Anyway. It just seems like every time I take a car in to get worked on by somebody, it always comes back worse. Like, I kind of regret having done it. Anyway. If they give me a loaner car, that'd be really awesome. Anyway, so we need to start putting together the different vignettes going on. And how this kind of manifests itself. And the normal thing of God being something of an unseen actor in all this.
Okay, and that's it. Talk to you later. Bye.